Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Coach Ed Conversations podcast series from Growth Coaching International. I'm Richard Reid, and I'm delighted to be joined once again today by my co-host, Dan Steele. We're pleased that you have decided to listen in to the conversation today as part of GCI's monthly Coach Ed update. If you missed our first two episodes, please do check those out. One on goal setting and the other one on developing coaching cultures. As always, Dan and I hope that our topic today will be of interest to you and help you further develop as a coach. So structure-wise, as before, Dan and I will follow a set structure where we will discuss our chosen topic under the following three headings. So firstly, discovery, what have we noticed? And then impact, why does it matter? And then next steps, what has become clearer? So our topic for today is building rapport with your coachee. And we're going to split this into two categories. So firstly, Dan's going to share his thoughts on building rapport in person. And then I'll share some thoughts on building rapport online. So Dan, when you think about building rapport in person, what have you noticed?
Well, the first thing I've noticed, Richard, is, gosh, when you go to talk, there's a lot of pressure on you about building rapport online for us now, isn't there? No, what have I noticed? I think I love this question because the thing that I've been noticing in the work that I've been doing recently is I think sometimes when we're talking about rapport building, we're also talking about trust building. So, you know, sharing, giving trust, building trust. And then I started thinking, well, you know, given the nature of these conversations and the podcast that we want to do, how can I make that really practical? So I was thinking about when rapport building in person goes really well, I'm really mindful of taking in the space because it's the way that I work with different people. So I'll often be in their setting or we'll be in, I don't want to say neutral setting, but in a place that they've chosen that might not be in their school or in their organization. So I'm really mindful, first of all, trying to work out the space and trying to even sort of see where they want to sit. I know that might sound a little bit silly, but, you know, like just taking in all of those different things where it's trying to give them, I guess, the choice and the voice. We talk about the partnership principles, you know, from an instructor coaching perspective. But I guess it even starts with that, where there's these little things where it's not about me coming in and taking over. It's about working with them. So I think there's the thing that I've been noticing is that's an approach that I often build from the very beginning. So it might be really subtle and they don't even notice. And then I thought as the coaching starts to occur and go over, it really begins with wanting to find out about them and me trying to help work out how I can articulate really clearly what coaching is, what it isn't. And then I always find out from them, well, but tell me, how does that sound to you? What are your experiences of coaching? Because from the very beginning we know relationships critical. I think in Christian Van Neuburg's book, Introduction to Coaching Skills, I think he's talking about research that comes from therapeutic settings, but the relationship's the critical part. You know, when they've found that it's had positive outcomes on the person, the relationship is the critical one, more so than the tools or the techniques. So, you know, if we take that and we say, well, the relationship matters, I guess the way that I try and bring that is I try and find out, you know, what are your experiences with coaching? And it could have been, you know, like myself, a rugby coach that actually just yelled at me and told me what to do. So you just start to build up that understanding of who they are and where they're coming from. And then I really love, as part of forming that relationship and the rapport, I know I have to turn up slightly differently for every single coachee. So I am myself, but I love to find out more about them and if they have been coached or they've had a really good mentor or they've had a really great boss or a really great leader, what is it that person's done that's brought out the best in them? And then I say, so what is it that I can do during this time to help you? And then I find they give me nuggets of gold. And then that's the way that they're actually saying, this is how I'd really love for you to turn up.
Yeah.
And then one further thing that I've noticed that's been working really well recently in the last, probably particularly in the last 6 months, has been I talk about this idea, you know, I'm previously a teacher and talking about this idea of being a warm demander. So I talk about this idea of, you know, when it can work really well, we've got equal levels of support and challenge, but sometimes we turn the dial up on the support, sometimes we turn up the dial on challenge. So if I'm if I'm to challenge you or to support you, can you help me understand what those can look like for you? Now, sometimes people go, I have no idea. Like, I've never been asked that before, but that's okay. And then that leads to a really lovely bit where I say, no, that's okay. Well, you know, take a moment and consider this. Like, so if I was to challenge you, you know, what's a way that you like to be slightly pushed or guided or prodded? And then normally they start to give me some more insights. And the reason that I think that really makes a difference is sometimes in the first, not sometimes, every time in the first conversation, there comes a point where I can either provide the support and use the language they gave me, or I can slightly push them and say, is it all right if I challenge you? I know you said you're okay for me to do this. And by doing that, I've done it in a way that they feel comfortable with. We sort of broached in this first conversation. And then from then on out, anytime in the remainder of the coaching cycle, they actually really welcome it. So I found that's what worked really well. And then the thing that I've been noticing that I'm really loving that helps me keep improving and just and keep understanding the power of coaching is finding out about the person's role models. Now, often we probably do that early on, but I've also noticed that sometimes as I find out more about a person, I can find and try and inquire about their role models. And the reason that I think that helps with the rapport building is we just continue to get an understanding of their experiences, the people that they admire, the qualities, the values that they admire. And what it also helps do for me is it provides that ability to not have to necessarily for me to then jump in. We know we have to fight this advice monster. So if there's ever a point where they're like, yeah, but what would you do? You know, can you just tell me what to do? I've got all this amazing knowledge of their role models, all the different people. I'd say, you know, I've got some thoughts, but given that you're talking about this aspect or you're thinking about this side of leadership, you know, you've spoken about Richard being a really amazing role model to you. What do you think Richard would do? What are some pieces of advice Richard would give you? And then that just helps them, you know, so instead of it building some sort of form of dependency with me, it helps me because we get to better understand one another. They then sort of tap into their own experiences. They realize they can do this. And normally they'll then follow up by saying, I hadn't even thought like that before. Or they'll say, hang on, you didn't even do anything just then. I did all the work. And sometimes that's really lovely too.
Yeah.
So I think in the end, they're the big things when I think about building rapport. It's probably going to be similar and have an overlap to you with the online work. But I think it's really just me making a concerted effort to really understand, I guess, like their mental models, their experiences, their worldview, how they like to be coached, what challenge and support looks like. And then I have to make sure it's my role to really bring that on, but in an authentic way too, you know, like still being myself. I can't not be myself. But there's some parts of me that I have to make sure I really dial up and some parts that maybe I have to dial down slightly.
That's interesting. And right at the outset, I'd written down there, you mentioned building rapport is basically the same thing as building trust. And that's what we're trying to do in a coaching relationship. So you're there in person with the other person there, the coachee, and you're trying to build trust. And right from the outset, even thinking and noticing things that are as simple as where are you going to meet? You know, that idea of a neutral place or somewhere that the coachee has decided this is where I'd like to meet. I always think it's fascinating coaching, mostly principals. Some are content in their school office and that's great. That's no problem. Others are adamant that it's got to be offsite and that's where they're going to do their best thinking. So again, it's being able to respect that and ask that question. And if it's about building trust, as you said, Dan, you mentioned there dialing up the support and the challenge. So dialing up the support, yes, no problem. But in order to be able to dial up that challenge, you need to have built that rapport. You know, so it's not going to happen immediately. So that's been really interesting. So in all of those different thoughts, and those have been fascinating thoughts, why does it actually matter? Why do we need to think about these things?
Yeah. Well, why would you bother? Well, I guess at the heart of rapport, I mean, part of the definition of rapport is about understanding others' feelings and perceptions and so that and communicating well. So, you know, they're sort of the two key parts. So why would you bother? Well, every single time I work with someone and engage with them, we normally round off the conversation or at some point during the conversation, they say, I haven't ever thought of that before. Or they say, do you know what? This is one of the few times where I feel like I can actually share what I think and know that it's okay. And I've actually walked away with better understandings. Or I think at the heart of it too, Richard, why does it matter? Well, if you gain someone's trust and you build trust and you're also giving it too, so they're starting to notice some new things about them, they're discovering more about themselves, suddenly you see in person there's changes in their body language. They start to change the posture. They appear, they sound more confident.
Yeah.
They walk away with more clarity. And then the next time, it just builds and fosters more momentum. So the next time you catch up, they're so excited to talk through something, even if it didn't work well. So even if they've gone and done some things and said, but you know what, I've learned this, or I really want to spend some time digging into this because it didn't work the way that I thought. But how wonderful that they're actually coming to say that too. So I think if you spend the time doing it, it just leads to pretty much endless possibilities because you've opened up all these doors just to have really great, meaningful conversations. They don't think you're trying to direct them in any sort of way. They know that you're there working alongside them. So which I think leads to the actual meaningful change that we want when it comes to coaching.
Yeah, I love that phrase, meaningful change. And meaningful change is only going to come as a result of building a sensible amount of rapport with your coachee.
And it's only meaningful if it actually has some, it's meaningful for them.
Yeah.
I think it might be meaningful to, I might think, great, this is working really well. But if there's no actual meaning for them, that's the thing. We want to create new meaning and new experiences for them. And the way we do it is through understanding them and their feelings and their experiences.
Yeah. I like that. And because we build rapport, we can even ask them that question, what does this mean for you if you've built that rapport with the coachee, which I think is super helpful. Now, the process that we go through, for these podcast episodes, so we have a number of different topics. Beforehand, we spend a little bit of time thinking, it could be on our way to work, it could be in conversation with other people, jotting a few ideas down, reading a few things just to get our heads around the topic. So having gone through that process over the last couple of days, Dan, for you, what's become clearer moving forward?
I think it is. What's become clear is that this is transferable to pretty much any conversation or any relationship or any working relationship that you might have. Mm. I mean, the way that it then shows up and the way that you show up will look slightly different. If I turned up as like Coach Dan to my wife, I can only imagine how that would go, right? Or my kids, it's way too annoying. Mm-hmm. But as a dad, I can make sure that I take a similar approach and I just think, okay, so what are they actually trying to tell me? Do they need some support? Do they need more challenge? Have I actually asked them what they're needing right now or checking in to see what's occurring, building that trust again in this moment? Or from a work perspective, when we're dealing with teams, so what is it that the team's actually saying that they need? Are we creating that setting where they can actually share something that's worked well or something that particularly hasn't? So I think for me, what's become clear is rapport is it's something we use all the time, Richard. We all say the word rapport, but I think sometimes it becomes one of those blurry and vague words that people sort of all assume everyone knows what we're all meaning, but we sometimes don't think about it. So I think it's just a highly transferable thing. And I think it's a really brilliant tool of building trust, building rapport. I think it's a go-to tool that you need to use as a leader, as a person, as a dad. So that's one of the things I've really loved as we've been sitting here preparing for this chat. But what about you, Richard Reed? So let's flip it to the wonderful, illustrious host. Everyone is desperate to hear from your perspective. And I should say, I keep getting some lovely feedback. Everyone goes, I just love your podcast host. He is just so great. So Richard Reed, what have you noticed when it comes to building rapport, especially in an online setting? What are the things you've noticed?
Yes, I feel very much under pressure, Dan, because we're online at the moment. So what I say needs to fit in with what I'm doing. Yes. Okay, well, look, I'm going to think of a number of practical things in amongst other things when I thought about online. So let's go back in time a little bit. We go back during that period of the pandemic when most of us, particularly me, came across online conversations essentially for the first time. So prior to that, in my professional capacity, or as a dad, as a husband or whatever, I wouldn't have been using online calls for anything. So all of a sudden landed in the middle of this scenario where you're trying to figure out how do I work this? You're connecting online, you're trying to get the simple things right, like not being on mute, all of those basics. And most of us struggled significantly at the start. Now, in fairness, over a period of time, and I mean, we were very much didn't have a lot of choice. We needed to continue to communicate with each other. So we worked at it and in many ways we ironed out some of those simple little errors, and we've come through and out the other side, and thankfully the world's a much better place. But we still will use online, so we're using Zoom, we're using Teams, we're using Riverside here today, the podcasting software. So we're doing a lot of online conversations, and within the coaching world there's still a lot of people out there who are coaching online. There's a lot of practical reasons for it. So somebody might be on the other side of the world. I mean, you're in Australia at the moment. I'm in Northern Ireland. We couldn't do this in person. It would be lovely, but it would cost an absolute fortune. So it's not.
I think we should check the budget. So that could be really good. And my wife and my kids would definitely like it every month if I just fly over and meet you halfway. I think that would work well for my family.
It would be a win-win for everybody. A win-win. The bottom line is we have the reality that, you know, we're ongoing. We're using Zoom. We're using Teams. We're having online conversations, so it's going to come up in our coaching. So we've come a long way, and I think that's a good thing. But there still are some basics that I think we're, in some cases, we're making some simple errors. Now, I'm going to introduce you to a new word, and this is a word I only come across reasonably recently. It's proxemics, okay? So proxemics, and essentially it's the study of the distance between people in conversation. Okay, so it's an interaction between two people, and proxemics essentially is trying to suss out, where do I stand in relation to this other person? And what we see and what I've noticed, particularly on Zoom calls, team calls, online in some shape or form, is you have a variety of different approaches. Some people, for some reason, and I don't know why, and thankfully it's not too often, but some people are still just far too close. So they're right here. Exactly. You know, they are right in your face. And that's what in proxemics, they talk about the idea of intimate space, okay, which is just, in a coaching scenario, a little bit too close, okay? Just beyond that, so you come back from the screen a little bit, but you're still very much the full of the screen, is very much around personal space, okay? And that's still very close. And the studies at the moment, and it's interesting, articles on this, where even online, people can pick up on the fact that you're just a little bit too close. So we're talking about trying to build rapport with the other person. We need to get the spacing right. So when we think about proxemics, the main go-to area from a distance point of view is what they call social space. So essentially where I am right now from the camera, maybe about 2 feet away, is what they call social space. So in the same thing in person, you know, we can have a conversation comfortably with that sort of what they call social space distance. Now, there can be a bit of a challenge with that. If some people do get the distance right, sometimes they're still working with the microphone maybe on their laptop, and if it's a wee bit too far away, then you lose a little bit of volume. So what I've noticed there is some people, if they're switched on and they have this, you know, they have a bit of an idea around their setup, it's just an extra microphone, okay? So a USB mic, so that they can allow themselves to sit a little bit back from the camera. Now, another thing that I've noticed, again, thinking about the practicalities, is the positioning as far as up and down goes. And there are still some people, and they probably don't realise, but their head's at the bottom of the screen. And you've got all this space, a bit like you now, Dan. Okay,
so for all our listeners, become viewers, and you can see what I'm doing right Dan now, just nice, dip it Dan right nice. Down.
Is now sinking in his screen. So in some cases, and people don't necessarily realise, you know, that their positioning is quite low. The other thing that I'm noticing at the moment is eye contact, okay? So when it comes to eye contact, I mean, you're maybe the same as myself, Dan. I will look around a little bit when I'm thinking, okay? And I think that's, a lot of people will look around, you know, when they've come up with ideas, and that's absolutely fine. But when it comes to the actual conversation in a coaching scenario, you need to try as best you can to maintain eye contact. And the challenge in there, and what I've noticed, is people have a camera, obviously, on the top of their screen, the top of their, basically same thing. And what some people do is they will actually look around the screen to see where the person is that they're talking to, because naturally you're drawn to where the person's head is, and that's where you face them as far as your conversation. So you think you're making eye contact with the other person, but actually what they see is this, and you're talking away. What you think is giving eye contact, they're thinking, why is he talking to the wall at the moment? So those are sort of things that I'm noticing that make a lot of difference when it comes to actually building rapport. And moving just beyond some of those practicalities, okay, are things like the non-verbals. Okay. So the non-verbals need to be really enhanced. So those nods and the mm-hmm and the okay, all right, okay, which you've done a number of times, is really, really helpful when it comes to building rapport online. So again, those are very practical things, but those are some of the things that I've noticed at the moment as far as building rapport goes, maybe some of the barriers.
Yeah, and I think listening to what you said, I mean, A, now I'm second guessing where I'm looking, where I'm standing and what my head's doing, but that's okay. It's not about me. I think it's really interesting because what you've painted for people is some things, some assumptions that we make we're doing that could potentially have an impact on the rapport. So if once you've got those in place, are there some other things that you've noticed that really also help in the conversation, that also help you foster and build rapport when you're working with people online? Because I think what you've painted a picture of is these are the things that if we don't consider them, that we might assume are in place, can affect it. Once we've got them sorted, are there some things that you've noticed work really well for yourself in other ways to build rapport?
We intentionally, in many ways, online exaggerate some of the other things. So the idea of giving people time to think is still really important online. So actually articulating that at the start, even in the contracting or a quick reminder, if you have a series of conversations, say, look, okay, so this is session two or three. It's really important that I give you time to think. So there are going to be times when we're going to go quiet, as if we would in a normal conversation. And this is online, so it's going to seem maybe a little bit strange. But me going quiet is helping you, and I'm giving you this time to think. So, you know, take that opportunity and use that little time to think. So when you're online, I think you need to be even more intentional with some of those things and actually articulate them, okay, which you maybe wouldn't do necessarily in person. But when you're online, just being really clear that I'm allowing a little bit of quiet here, because it does seem a bit strange if it's online, but we're doing that intentionally, and that's your time to think, you know. So that's one of the main things that I think is really important.
Yeah. And I think it's a funny thing. Sometimes in person, if we are letting someone think, because they can pick up on the little body movements and things, they know that we're there listening and sort of just waiting for them. But sometimes online, if I'm just standing, staring at you, giving you some time to think, sometimes people have said, has it frozen? And so I've had to go, no. And then I've had to explicitly say. So I think that the takeaway that you're sharing with people is, We name almost the awkwardness or the slight clunkiness that could potentially be there, just this feeling. So we're just really clear so that you're eliminating assumptions. And I think that's what I'm really taking from you, is all the insights that you're sharing are just to eliminate any of those assumptions. So then you're just really well set up to build this rapport online with people. And so what are the things that you've noticed recently about the impact that has occurred? So when you've done all these things and you've been aware of the proxemics and you've been aware of the way that you're, how you're looking or the person that you're engaging with, what's something that's worked really well or an impact that you think's worth sharing?
Asking somebody at the end of a coaching session. Okay, normally we talk about, you know, what's become clearer for you. We've got some of our standard questions that we ask. How has this landed with you, et cetera. There's a various number of questions we ask in there. But when you're online asking about, you know, how has this been from an online point of view? You know, how have you found this experience given the fact that we're 3,000 miles apart? And it's been fascinating hearing people quite often say, do you know, I forgot we're actually online. And that to me is manna from heaven. You know, when somebody actually goes, oh, yes, we're online, aren't we? So if you've got to the point where you've built rapport with the other person and they've almost forgotten that they're online, so you ask them the question. And again, you know, over the series of conversations that you have, building up the skill to make sure you build that rapport, then they will get to the point each time going, do you know what, that's right, we're actually online. And you wouldn't even know. So that to me is just lovely confirmation that you've had that impact and you've been able to build a rapport enough that the person forgets that they're actually online.
Yeah, that's That's so, I can imagine the feeling that you would get because, you know, you deeply love helping people and wanting to support people. So if someone has got to a point when they feel so connected to you that it doesn't matter about screens or cameras, yeah, I can just imagine the sense for you as you sit there. There'd be a big fist pump going on internally, maybe externally too.
But you're right, Dan, about the idea when you talked about the pauses. You know, sometimes people say, you know, are you okay? Are you still there? You know, have you frozen? And that's where, again, you know, I would, and maybe I move about sometimes too much, but I would be conscious of just every now and again adjusting myself on the seat a little bit. I mean, I do it naturally, and that will actually eliminate the potential for somebody to think, has the camera frozen? You know, is there a problem with the internet? So those sort of wee things, I think, sometimes are useful reminders just to keep a little bit of movement, not distracting the other person, but just little bits of movement every now and again. You know, it could be a simple scratch of the cheek or whatever, yeah. Subtle things, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think really helps.
And I think the reason that matters is I've had a couple of times where someone has thought that I was frozen, and I've done a similar thing now. So I've noticed I do nonverbals more so, or I move, or there's a slight thing, but not making it distracting.
Yeah.
And the reason why is when they thought it was frozen, it just interrupted enough of their thinking and where they were going that the person then, they just lost a bit of momentum. And I realized, well, online, yeah, we need to consider that too, because that's what we're there for, right? To help them. Well, Richard, what do you think about, so given what we've covered and what you've shared, and I have loved, so I love getting a word of the day. So thank you for passing on Proxamics as my word of the day. I would also like to say, so for any listener, I would welcome you to come on and watch our video. And I think we should all get some feedback on Richard and my Proxamics. Let us know what's working well, and let us know if we do look around with our eyes when we're thinking. I think we welcome that feedback, wouldn't we, Richard?
Absolutely, absolutely.
But what's given all that we've covered today, what's become clearer, or what's something that has really resonated? So two options: what's become clearer or resonated for you today?
Yeah, well, it's just important to remove barriers. You need to be more intentional when you're online to remove barriers. And if we do the Proxamics and we get ourselves set up and we get into the routine of knowing where to position ourselves, that's really useful. If we make sure that we're regularly checking where we're looking so that we're actually making eye contact with the person. So essentially you're looking towards the camera as much as you can. Now, there's something that again, there's a cost to this, but you can actually get cameras where they sit on a wire. They actually come down the middle of your screen and they sit thumbnail size, little tiny camera, in the very center of your screen. So you actually then can look at the middle of the screen and you know you're getting perfect eye contact with the other person. Where you have it at the top, you just have to make sure you're in the center of the screen. It's going to be slightly lower normally, and that's okay. There's very little you can do about that, because it wouldn't be, I mean, if I'm looking at the camera now, I couldn't have a good conversation with you, Dan, because I'm not looking at you. Do you know what I mean? That wouldn't be practical.
Yeah.
That's some of those things have become, you know, to me, just useful bits of information to think about. And I think, again, the idea of sitting at a certain distance allows you to use that space to use a few hand gestures and things like that, you know, in a reasonably positive way, non-distracting. But you're ultimately trying to create, you mentioned rapport and trust, psychological safety. And here's something that I think is really, really useful, something that I, having spent a bit of time thinking through this, some of the groups that I've been working with on the CAP program, so the accreditation program, have done an amazing job, and that's online, in starting the conversation by saying, now, Dan, we're going to have a coaching conversation here. I just want to explain. So I'm in my office. This is a garden room. It's totally separate to the house. And actually sometimes I've just moved the camera around a little bit just to show the coachee where they are and say, you know, there's not going to be any interruptions. So I'm the only one in the room here. And I think that's actually a lovely way to build a little bit of rapport with somebody, particularly in the first time that you meet. And there's a lovely phrase that I picked up in online coaching. Presence beats proximity. Isn't that a lovely statement? In online coaching, your presence actually beats proximity. So proximity is going to be, you know, when you're actually in the room with somebody else, you're more conscious of that. But in online coaching, your presence actually beats proximity. So again, there's a couple of simple things there that, you know, people can take away as little hints and tips, practical things that you just become habit, you know, in many ways. So I would encourage people, you know, the online scenario from a coaching point of view, is still a huge opportunity to build rapport with somebody and do some really, really, really good coaching. And you can still be, I believe, as impactful online as you would be in person. I think we need to go into the conversation with that goal in mind as a coach.
I fully agree. And I think the at the end of every coaching cycle, we get our coaches provide like complete an impact survey where they share and they give us, you know, they go through and use scales, and then they also give us like qualitative, like so commentary. And that completely completely backs up what you're saying. We know that it has a profound impact on them, and there's a really positive relationship that occurs, even if it is online. A majority of the work that we're doing is actually online with the coaching too. But is it all right if I just share a few things that I've taken from you today? Because I think it's been fascinating listening to you talk. And I wrote down, I did a similar approach to what Richard Reid would do, which is Richard Reid grabs quotes and phrases from people, and he just constantly just adds them, then he weaves them back into the conversation. So this is what I noticed. So there were three things. So you spoke about simple things, which I found fascinating, because my thought was, well, I wonder if they're simple things to everyone else, but I think they're simple things to you. And then as you went into it, you then spoke about proxemics. And I thought, well, I have never thought about that before, but so here we go. So simple things that help you intentionally remove barriers so that you can have greater presence, which beats the proximity. So I think for me, listening to the intentionally removing barriers so you can do the simple things, the seemingly simple things, which encourage greater presence. And I think that's something that I've really taken away today. Just us as the coach, that's the work that we try and do within the conversation.
Yeah, fantastic. So that's a lovely takeaway, Dan, from you. For me, from the whole conversation, listening to your good self, I'm going through the process of thinking through my own set of things with the online side of the equation. Do you know what I would love to do? And I'm challenging myself and all of our listeners and viewers. I remember back, must be 18 months ago, maybe more, recording one of the GCI podcasts and talking to the guest. He was mentioning that at one point, and it was I think back pre-pandemic, they were actually coaching over the telephone. And what he said was that was a tremendous opportunity to really, 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 really develop specific coaching muscles in certain areas. So your listening was just hiked right up there because you couldn't see the other person. So the non-verbals didn't exist in any shape or form. So we're almost going to the other extreme. Wouldn't it be lovely to actually try a few coaching conversations on the telephone and just work audio only? Because I think that would be actually a really good discipline every now and again, with the agreement of a coachee, somebody who's happy to have a go at that, to actually really strengthen some of those very specific coaching muscles. So that's one thing that I've taken away from today's session. In person, it's always brilliant, and I love in-person conversations, and I still get to have lots of those, and I really enjoy them. Online, there shouldn't be barriers. So there's simple ways of actually still building really good rapport. And if somebody at the end of a coaching conversation says, oh, yes, I'd forgotten we were online, then that's tremendous. It means you're making progress. But actually going one step further and thinking, what about throwing in every now and again a coaching conversation on telephone? What are your thoughts on that one?
I think, yeah, I mean, I'm a sucker for a challenge. So it's like anything where I go, oh, I haven't done that for a while. So I think that would be great, because I love that. I love that concrete example of it. Yeah, a coaching muscle. It is, absolutely. You get to really dial up, listening really well. The thing when I've done phone coaching is needing to be more aware of my environment. So really picking I actually have a different space when I do phone coaching, because I need to make sure obviously there's no interruptions and things, but also just visually, I don't have things that could distract me, because I know I really need to dial up my listening. So I think that's a fascinating thing with it too. I think we should give it a try, Richard. I think this is good. Feel free, listener, reach out to us if you'd like to do a phone coaching conversation. Feel free to reach out to me. I'd love to do that. I always love refining and developing my skills.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Dan, thanks so much for sharing your thoughts on this genuinely really important topic today. For you folks listening or watching, we've got folks who are listening and watching. We do hope, as always, that this conversation has hopefully sparked some thoughts, maybe answered some questions, but ideally increased your curiosity around building rapport with your coachees. As always, if you'd like to find out more about this topic, and indeed many others, do check out our website at growthcoaching.com.au for other podcast episodes, articles, and much, much more. So from Dan and I, we both look forward to building even better rapport on our next episode of Coach Ed Conversations.